Yeah, as I said, that was the main story from yesterday up until today. The mere fact that a lot of Bloemfontein Celtic fans or former Bloemfontein Celtic fans have got something now to get excited about, because everything besides the name coming back in its entirety is back. Siwelele Football Club is back in the Premiership. We're just waiting now on official announcements to be made, but you can go on the Twitter handles and you'll find all of that, and including, like you rightfully said, the kit being launched and being shown to the public, what that's going to be like. I wonder what a certain gentleman who would have spent a great deal of time in that part of the world will think about the return of the green and white of Bloemfontein. All right, we're live on the YouTube channel. Looking forward to a conversation with my guest tonight, who we celebrate. I mean, he's got a mind as sharp as a tactician's whistle and also a heart as grounded as the chalkboard that he once stood in front of. Now, from classroom to chalk to technical chalkboard, I mean, he's been a philosopher, this guy, on the touchline, a scholar of the game and a servant of South African football. He is and will forever be a leader whose words have got mountains, whose journey is carved through discipline, intellect, undying passion for the beautiful game. Once upon a time, he was a school teacher, and now a mentor to champions. That's the direction. That's where he finds himself. From the dusty streets of Kroonstad to global arenas. I mean, his football story spans from CAF Champions League, FIFA Club World Cup. I mean, these are dreams as big as the Bafana Bafana hot seat. And he's been there before. He's actually captained the national team. I mean, he's a man behind the brains at Loerkop. He's coached many a giant. He's led Warriors, and that is why tonight we decided, before he goes on an official break that he deserves, having just come back from the United States of America from the FIFA Club World Cup, that he pops by here a couple of hours after he officially celebrated his birthday. So much going on for him. Birthday, an appearance on the show. Steve Khombela, good to see you. Welcome.
So many scars, Rob.
They're beautiful, though.
And some of those are just a small reflection of deeper ones, which are more invisible. They are emotional. But the physical scars we can see. The mental scars we can remember. Mm. But the emotional scars are the ones that stay forever, nobody sees. And they are likely to be the ones that are going to propel you to heights that even yourself cannot imagine. And as you were going on, you're saying from Kroonstad, small town, I'm sure the population cannot even be beyond 500,000. Mm. All the way to Club World Cup. And in between, a lot had been happening. One can only say, whoever is looking after that soul, and whoever had been supporting that soul, they deserve the applaud, and not the person who had been in that platform of unique opportunity. I owe it to everybody else. Critics, fans, lovers, haters, propellers, people who aim to relegate, people who are out there to elevate, even yourselves, people who are out there to help us see things differently. It's just a concoction of too many things, which is a reflection of all that you had said. And I started 2 minutes.
You greeted us, man.
No, I didn't. I just felt, Robert, as you were going on, you know, things happen in our lives and we are so oblivious and not aware of where they are actually taking us. And when you reach heights and then you start looking back, you're saying, okay. But when they happen, you tend to be resistant. And most of the time, adversity is a propeller. But the minute you don't want to face adversity, you become resistant, then you are delaying your progress. You only realize that after a period of time, when you had gone through moments of adversity, and then you kept on rising, overcoming, you're saying, I needed to go through this to get to the level of this growth. Many a times, we refuse upgrade because we refuse adversity.
you talked about scars, some invisible but emotional.
Yeah.
What's been your biggest hurt in 2025? We are only 2 days into a new month of July.
2025. I have to think deep, bro. Because most of my setbacks to me are actually moments to celebrate and to reflect. I regard my life as a car being driven. When it crashes, it tells me that either you're not focused, Steve, or there's something wrong with the alignment of your car, or there's something wrong with the road. So when that happens, it is not a moment of you have to then throw your toys and start screaming and crying. You have to reflect, okay, of the three, the car, the driver, and the road, which one is delinquent? Because in any journey, I always put it in a scenario of a car, a road, and a driver. When you are on a journey of life, or take a trip, maybe in Sukalangit, you know, I'm going to Kroonstad. If anything has to happen, there has to be introspection on one of the three. In the trio, there has to be something wrong. Either the tire, which is the car, then the road and the driver become the people who are then responsible for such a mishap. If it is the driver, mhlawumbe I'm driving, I'm under alcohol and all that, the car and the road are going to suffer. Or if the road has potholes, the car and the driver. So one way or the other, you should not then say it is my fault. You look at what could have been circumstances. And most of the time, we live our lives with our eyes closed when all symbols are there. Yours is just to realize. Let me make a direct reference, Robert, quickly. When we were going to the Club World Cup, we saw it as a platform to go play football at the highest level. But we quickly had to wake up and realize that no. It is not only about playing the Club World Cup. It's a message to be sent to the rest of the world in many ways. The message sent to the world by Mamelodi Sundowns as a football club from South Africa on behalf of Mamelodi Sundowns supporters, on behalf of PSL teams, on behalf of South African football, on behalf of SADC, on behalf of Africa. Now you are growing. You are saying, I am only a vessel. I am only a messenger. I have to represent.
Yes.
Now they say charity begins at home. It begins at Kloofkop. But it goes beyond that, because when the opponents profile us, you have Ulsan from South Korea, you have Borussia Dortmund from Europe, and then you have Fluminense from Brazil. When that happens, people don't say, we have to profile Fluminense. We look at the Brazilian football, South America. It even went to that stage. Even the world is talking about the progress of South American football. When you look at Borussia Dortmund, you don't look at them as Germans. You look at Europe and all that. Now, if you deny yourself the opportunity to see the picture and understand the symbol that you represent as Mamelodi Sundowns, you keep narrow focus, you're going to lose the plot. Now, we needed to broaden our spectrum, open up the horizon a bit, and see beyond what we see. Because what we were looking at was more of a seed, but we needed to see a forest, which is everything else that comes with. A discussion we had, I remember, with Ronwen Williams, we said, Ronza, we are going there. There's a technical study group about Arsene Wenger, Roberto Martinez, and all those people. They are out there to compile a technical report about the Club World Cup by FIFA. What are we bringing on the table that when we come back to South Africa as an African team, as a South African team, what is it that we're leaving on the TSG table that they will remember? To us, that was a deeper concern. That was deeper a desire to say, we'll go compete, but above all is, what is it that we leave on the table? And answering that question now, we can look back and safely say, okay, we try to do a definition that actually does away with all the misconceptions and all that about Africa, about South Africa, about African football. It's got so many layers. I remember getting into a lift at our academy where we're camping. I'm moving into a lift. I knew this anyway, because I tend to go deeper into things to find out about myself, my people, and everything else, even what I'm going to be facing. Going into a lift, coming across two beautiful people, a lady and a gentleman. Then this lady says to me, okay, what are you guys doing here? American accent. No, we come here to play football with a partner. And then she mentions something. She says to me, I tell her that, no, I'm from Johannesburg, South Africa, the Republic of South Africa. She says, I met a friend from someplace and mentioned a very strange name. And I understood that possibly, she might have misinterpreted South Africa for being just one of those.
Somewhere in the continent.
No, Africa. That's how they see it. If you speak maybe of Ghana or Nigeria, or if you say I'm from South Africa, they will tell you I have a friend in Nigeria or whatever. So one of the teachings that we had to take across was to also define and explain that we are a continent of 54 countries. Mm-hmm. And in that, there's a whole lot of this culture, the sports, the arts, different in many ways. Even the North Africans are different from who we were. So all those are things that you go in. There's something, but we'll talk about this as we go on with regards to our deeper purpose beyond football, what it meant, and what were the symbols or reflections or points of reference we needed to pick on so that we can say, okay, we did not only bring football, not only culture, not only arts, not only anything, but we also needed to sell the continent and people who come from the continent that is unfortunately in most instances regarded as a dark continent.
A dark continent, you still regard yourself as dark as well.
I am darker than anything and I love it.
Hashtag MSW live now on 947 Vuma FM, Rise FM and Soweto Live at the same time. Hashtag MSW.
Afternoon, Rob. You have an intellectual there, my favorite person in the world, Mr. Steve Hontela, the teacher. I want to get his opinion on this matter. What does he think about the likes of Kevin De Bruyne and other European teams that think that this tournament is a waste of time and it's just adding to injuries to top European players and therefore it will hamper their seasons and stuff and it's useless and it should not even be played, it should not even be considered. What does he think of the Club World Cup as Mr. Steve Hombela and the coach who just got from a grueling season with Mamelodi Sundowns playing in the Champions League, playing more than 40 games in all competitions. So does he also share the opinion of Kevin De Bruyne and the likes, or does he think maybe it's important or good or whatever, especially for the South Americans, Africans, and Asians? Okay, Archie, welcome to the game.
Achie in Mohlakeng, thank you so much indeed. Highly appreciate that. Steve Hombela is my guest, ladies and gentlemen. Any questions or comments, do send your WhatsApp voice notes. Otherwise, we are live on the YouTube channel. You can post those comments and questions on the platform over there. Steve, you heard that. There have been many takes about this expanded, very new FIFA Club World Cup being played in the heat. Then it's the rain, and then you have to stop, whether it's for 30 minutes, 2 hours, 1 hour, whatever it is. That's what's been presented to you. What do you make of it officially now that you've had that experience?
It's always very difficult to accept something that is put in front of you for the first time. Even a simple, then goes that Steve Hombela again, also potangale before he points at what exactly needs to be said. The colors we are around here are pink. And I'm sure the minute we moved into this studio, the first time you moved in here, you felt like, are they not too bright? Because first encounters are not familiar. And they are subject to scrutiny that is unfamiliar. And some people are uncomfortable because we are creatures of habit. Human beings are wired to stay consistent. And the minute you start shifting their ground, when you unsettle them, when you throw a bit of adversity, then they resist. It is the same thing. So it wouldn't have been just easy for people to accept the tournament as is. But in many ways, for African teams, for South Americans, is of great benefit financially. And also in terms of growth of the game, that teams from, let's say, Asia, teams from South America, teams from Africa, a number of them go on and compete with these top teams from Europe. Is a dominant continent when it comes to football. And by virtue of their dominance, they will try their utmost best to protect their interests. And naturally so. If you, this is where sometimes you try say, okay, as you put burdens on my shoulders, how can I turn those burdens into blessings? If you say a figure of $200 million given to an African team and $200 million given to a European team, that just by virtue of currency and conversion and all that, the Europeans won't feel the injection massively. But for teams whose currencies are slightly lower, they will definitely feel the benefit. So you are saying, okay, you overburden me by not putting much value on my currency. But then can I benefit them through taking participating in this tournament and get something? So when they come to a platform where they have to put an argument to say, what could be the prize money? Should we put it at 200? If you throw that to an African team, they will say it's a fair amount because of the rates, the conversions and all that. When you compare with a European, they will say it is still lower. But the minute you start pushing it to the level of Europeans, it indirectly benefits even those who are coming from other continents. So from a financial point of view, it is quite a lucrative tournament for teams coming from South America and Africa, and I would go for it. In terms of the standard of football, it was an opportunity for these teams from South America, from teams in Africa, to see how far they have gone. I'll give a direct reference to Mamelodi Sundowns. When Mamelodi Sundowns started embarking on the journey of let's build a club, let's build a team that has to compete at the biggest, at the highest level in the world stage. So Mamelodi Sundowns said, okay, this is how we'll build this team. Now, when you go to Club World Cup, you're looking at the process of when you started forming this thing years back, how far you have come, and now doing some sort of an assessment by being put on a test at that stage to say, your forming of the whole thing, progression, and all these processing goals up until you reach this level where you're now ready to compete with these big dogs. How far have you come? So it gives you some sort of a measure. Then you can go back and do a little bit more based on a point of reference of where you had been at the moment. So it does help. It reinforces a scenario where you say, okay, I had a good plan. Maybe I could have tweaked it here or there. But with Europeans, their game has progressed so much. The Champions League is at another level. The UEFA Nations at another level. Yeah. All these, they have the best conditions in Europe. Now, when FIFA and the rest of the other governing bodies say, let's also give the opportunity to the rest of the other people who do not have the same privileges as you do as Europeans, they will cry foul. And any other person will do likewise. But in my opinion, it is a great initiative. It benefits everybody. And from a spectator's point of view, this is a stage like your standard or normal World Cup with national teams. Mm. The difference is that it is now done at club level, which is a beautiful thing because how many teams qualify for World Cups as national teams? Very few. Mm-hmm. And some nations have not even qualified for the World Cup. But here's an opportunity as a football club. You can then qualify and go play the Club World Cup, which gives you the same benefit platform and the ambience that you definitely get from a World Cup. So in my opinion, yes, the weather conditions were quite harsh, and not only for Europeans, even for us as Africans, which is what at some stage would tell them that, listen, we come from Africa, and the perception is that Africa is a burning continent, but the heat that you come across in Miami is insane. It's boiling hot. Even us, we couldn't stand it. You go out there, walk to training, already you dripping, you sweating, and we're saying to ourselves, yo, South Africa is hot, Bafuitu, but not like this. And whereas we came from a winter season, like sure. So that heat as well. But again, it goes to a point of, then goes to our scientists that as Africans, our DNA and adaptation to heat is much more easier than the Europeans, because they spend most of their time in a different climate and conditions, which are extremely low and ours are extremely high. So it was a bit easier for us to immediately go in and adapt quickly. And if Europe were to be exposed to the heat wave that they go through now, whether it could be in France, could be in Turkey, could be in Greece and all that consistently, they will reach a level where they will be having the same temperatures as Africa. And then they will accept the tournament in America because they are from the same climatic conditions. It should not only be right because it is accustomed to you. It should also be right even if it is not accustomed to you. You look at what is it that is serving and not who it is serving that we accept it.
Talking about the World Cup, let me just quickly remind you, we are sitting on 344 days now until the groundbreaking FIFA World Cup 2026. That's next year. I mean, we'll be sitting here this time next year. We're talking World Cup. It's as simple as that.
Ah, Mr. Marawa, White Shangani, eh? You have the English giant there, Mr. Big Word, Steve Compella, Cossi Nation. That man led the team. He led our Cossi Nation. But then we kicked him. We hit him so hard. But, you know, he bounces back from a barefoot boy growing up to making it on the biggest stages, to making it being a captain of Bafana Bafana. Steve Compella, we salute you. You taught us that, you know what, guys? Give me time. I'll make it. I'll show you what I'm all about. You are a champion now, and you've been a champion. And you are a legend to South Africa, all the way from Naturina, Cossi Nation, White Shangan. We love you, even though sometimes we never said thank you as Kaizer Chiefs. But I want to say danko, danko, danko. Thank you, Mr. Marawa.
Oh, ushukuthi White Shangan, we are not shying a match amabida. Now I know. At least I can tell the South African police service and the justice system who actually begang shying a match. Anyway. But again, you know, White Shangan says something very profound. You should never ever be bitter when circumstances or conditions don't favor you.
Yeah.
Try your utmost best to always level up and be better than bitter. Can you imagine if I had really been angry? There was a point where I had been angry with football.
What stage was that?
That is when I was left out. I've suffered serious setbacks in football.
Out of Bafana?
Yo. When we played AFCON, I had captained South Africa from 1992 up until 95, throughout all matches. And just on the verge of playing AFCON, then I was the only player who was left out of his squad. From having been the captain of the national team and then being the only player who's been left out of the squad. And also there was an invite of other players who were out of the squad in to replace you at your position. But I never cried foul. I remember going back to Europe and we were watching AFCON Eurosport. Now, because I had always been asking from my team and my teammates that I'm going to play. They knew that this is a national captain. Now, here's an AFCON final in your own country and you are not there and you're watching on TV. One of these folks says to me, but you said you're the captain of the team. Here are these guys who are playing. Look, we are watching Eurosport. Where are you? You are here. It hit me.
Sure.
It hit me. And you're sitting there among those folks and everybody else is playing there. Ababona Machita, you've been playing with. This team was built around from Abobra Screamer, all those Abobra Shakes, Abotrot. You are not there and you are the only one. And instead of your being taken out for whatever reason and nobody, you were taken out, somebody brought in. That was a hell of a setback. The second setback, we qualified South Africa for Korea Japan 2002 with Carlos Queiroz. We have to go to the World Cup in Japan. And then you become again the person who misses out on the train to go represent your country at the World Cup. You know, but the funny part of God, he works in mysterious ways. I had suffered such a setback, but I told myself, listen, man, this is just one of those setbacks that you need to find a comeback on. It's life. Life is inconsistent. And if you resist adversity, you are refusing growth. Let there be setbacks, but find a way to come back. Because the minute you go beyond that, you are a better person. When Bafana, before we played Spain, when they walked onto the stadium for a final prep, I was inside that stadium.
Doing what?
I had more access to the zones stadium than even them. I had been accredited as a media person working with ETV to go and do match analysis. And when actually at the beginning we had campaigned and qualified South Africa to go play, I would have only been given a right to be in the dressing room, in the tunnel, onto the field. But God said, no, man, this is just too little for him. Let him have access to the dressing room, the tunnel, the field, and even everywhere else. It's that's how it works. But had it been that I got angry, I wouldn't have. Then come back to Imabida. There's a lot that happened. You know, Robert, there's a story.
Wait, hold the Mabida story. I need to take a break. No. Aren't you talked about walking into a pink building?
You love Mabida because you're from Devon. So,
I was at the stadium when the stadium was burning. I was at the stadium when they were kicking cameras. I was at the stadium
I'm saying it in a scene. On the day.
I saw you in the media room when they were announcing that now you're stepping down as the coach.
Omega, that one was just as that chaos occurred. Our serpent is a symbol from Ilona.
Did you spot a snake? Did you spot a snake at the stadium?
Where did it come from?
Hashtag MSW live now on 947 Vuma FM, Rise FM, and Soweto Live at the same time. Hashtag MSW. Wednesday nights, soccer nights, your nights.
In the olden days when Jesus went on through his lessons, he was never specific with his references. He will always use symbols. I enjoy the interview all the time. So,
good evening, Rob. Good evening, 947 listeners. Rob, once you spoke about Steve Compeller being your guest, I said, let me drive quickly home and rush to get my dictionary so that I can sit in front of my TV and watch you guys on YouTube. Right now, I'm going to look for my dictionary. This is Richard from Portage Glen.
Good evening, Robert. My shoulders will never die. It's a win. Chola, mboetu, how you sum up this season? Emamelodi Sundowns. Ngoba we gcwele ama could have, should have, would have. Hey, mboetu, awusiqelele tata.
Emare badlala ngamla ekhaya. I could have, I should have, I would have. Hayi inkosi yami.
But didn't.
Yeah, I didn't.
Sure. I mean, where do we begin? Very quickly.
Yeah.
As I was saying off air, that interview with your Jesus was never specific quote.
Yes.
I mean, that went viral. That went all over the world.
But it is you.
How is it me?
But people who don't understand the interviewer fall in the trap of messing up with the intended message and statement. And Mr. Marawa is a champion of a way to probe and poke you. I'm trying to move away from provoke.
No, those are very harsh words.
No, they are not. Provoke. But Lalel,
it's like you can go to a police station and say, "Hey, please, Saijin, I'm here to open a case of probing and provoking."
I'm not gonna fall for you. When umuntu velumbegela angabona sicade self, it is a picture of Robert will take igaloni of petrol. Okay, you're wearing a nice jacket. He takes his petrol. Just put petrol on your jacket, put petrol, or it is. My God, he takes out a cigarette. He puts on his lip and then takes out a match. He lights his own cigarette and then he gives you the match to burn yourself. You can't blame him for burning you. He said, no, but I was lighting my cigarette and he asked for one. And then because the jacket is soaking and wet and dripping of petrol. Robert Law. Maulele uzohamba ngawo. So I mean, I stay woke when I deal with you. Because you can be.
Price of petrol went up yesterday, so we can't be wasting petrol like that.
Good evening, Rob, and good evening to arguably one of the most experienced and knowledgeable coaches in the PSL era in terms of years in the industry. Coach Steve, I just want to find out from you, having worked with so many talented players and dealing with a whole lot of disciplinary issues, possibly in your career, what is your view regarding alcohol consumption amongst players? Do you think the country is ready to have conversations regarding responsible drinking amongst footballers, or is it something that needs to be frowned upon, like we've seen when players are indulging in their beverages being frowned upon, or we are open, are we open to treat these cases in the same manner that it's normal in a team like Bayern Munich, allowing their players to attend the biggest beer festival in Germany without any issues? I just want to hear your views around that.
Sure, okay. I think that's a very powerful question.
Yeah.
Given the time, given the moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also just given the regularity of how, especially in this country, football players find solace in drinking alcohol.
Yeah. I'll go back to what we always say. We are just a microscopic reflection of society. Mm. Football reflects society. And a society is reflected in football. And that statement should lay then a very good foundation to not justify, but to honestly and earnestly reflect, and brutally so, on the realities that we face in our societies. The very same player you are training the next morning is the same player who comes from a community. Maybe the player slept emkhukhwini. But is a training at Lord Gop with top players. Maybe the player comes from a mansion somewhere, four ways, whatever, comes to Lord Gop. So the same people who are in front of you at training at Lord Gop are the same people who come from communities as vast and different. Then the question should go back to society and community to say, what society are you? What community are you? Because you're going to be reflected in your sports. When we go to US and play football, we are going to reflect on the culture of South Africa. I wish the reporters in US were sharp enough to link immediately Ikwijo, the song that our players were, the song they were singing. As they into the stadium, and linked it with the visit of our president to the White House in this manner. Ikwijo or these songs, these chants are not literal, but they are a way of bringing people together to unify us, to have unity in purpose in terms of approach on anything that has to be done. It is part of our culture. So when you see that happening with football players, expect that to be happening in society. When something within our communities and societies happens, expect that to happen in football. I'm going to make another example I made when you asked me Emma Peter.
Yes.
Emma Peter, when they said Steve must fall, it came at the back of hashtag Steve must fall, hashtag Zuma must fall, hashtag fees must fall. So when the narrative of hashtag must fall starts from communities that no, the fees on paying for tuition and all that must fall, then is taken into political platforms, then taken into sports. Sports is just a reflection of the mantra. Mm. The mantra comes from society. So sport did not just say hashtag Steve must fall, but it had to be copied. It comes from. So when a player, unfortunately, comes to training or there's a high rate of players abusing substance, we have to look into society and be very honest, brutally honest. Are we that clean that we can rebuke the abuse of substance by these people? Or but they are just a microscopic reflection of who we are. We have to admit we are not as clean. We are not saying they must not be clean, but don't condemn them as if we're nah, you are that clean. Don't be that kettle calling pot black. Don't be that pillow calling linen dirty. Because one way or the other, see if I'm not going to learn. But how can we improve it that these sports people who are role models can then lead society to become a better society? You reverse the roles now. Where are you saying? Instead of you becoming athletes and players, we want you to become men, responsible men, who are going to influence society positively. That society moves from abuse of stuff to use of stuff, non-use, and becoming better people. It is a huge responsibility. We're trying to do that. Nobody is perfect. We are fallible because we're human. But when you walk there and you're Robert Marawa, you're trying to say, I have to at least leave hope and a resemblance of someone with a conscience who says, there's likely to be another young Robert Marawa watching me somewhere. He should try to live at least the way I'm trying to. Or if I cannot be at the level of being exemplary, I need to tell them how to live. That at least he goes back to society, improves society. Because if we don't do that, Robert, we'll be killing societies. Our societies, and it's historical, it's cultural, it's political. There's a lot that we went through that cannot be corrected in 20 days, in 20 years, in 30 years, 300 years, 400 years. It is decades and decades. And for those decades, a lot of people, you and I, have to perish. Your kids must perish. Your kids' kids must perish. Generations must perish. Then our lives will improve. And where we at now, yes, we see the problem. The minute we recognize it, it gives us a perfect opportunity to work on it. But there should be mechanisms and ways with acceptance that we are not a perfect society either. So we cannot then expect to have a perfect environment with our athletes. But also they have a responsibility to change societies by changing their ways.
Powerful lesson, Steve, as you always do. Can I be very cynical?
Please do.
Let me clear my throat.
Please.
You mentioned three different tiers.
Yes.
Of the falls.
Okay.
And I just want a yes or no.
Would you get a yes or no from Steve Compeller?
No, I want it today. Otherwise, you can see the security is outside. I did tell them
that. Do you want it or you need it? There's a difference between a want and a need.
Both.
Okay.
Yes or no?
Yes.
Did the fees fall?
Do I use past tense? Because Engzopet is lungona. If Mounty did the fees fall, did they fall or ngitini?
At the time. So remember, all three were happening right about the same time.
Okay, let me answer. Let me answer directly.
Please try. Yes. I know it's difficult for you.
Yes.
You might need counseling after this. Did the fees fall?
Not completely.
Yes or no?
No.
Did Zuma fall?
Not completely.
Yes or no?
No.
Did Steve fall?
Not completely.
Yes or no?
No. In all three spheres, there was resilience.
And the answer was still no?
No. Nobody engineers you. Only those who have the ability to destroy you are the ones who engineered you. You were not man engineered. So the one who engineered you is the only one who has the capacity to decapitate you.
The coach that dropped you for both of those instances, remind me of his name.
Okay. With Bafana Bafana?
With Bafana,
okay,
yes.
The first one is the late Clive. May his soul rest in peace.
Sure.
And then the second one, Carlos lost his job. And then it was Uchomo who took the team to Korea, Japan. And I'm saying this with a very polite voice because I'm at a zone of acceptance. If you don't have the right levels of acceptance, you will suffer because you have high expectations. And where there's expectation, there's a possibility of disappointment. But when you accept that, okay, it is what it is. And if it is what it is, you have to find a way to say, how do I deal with it? If you don't want to face reality, you face denial, you are very far away from acceptance. And it is only through acceptance where you find peace, and it is only through denial where you find pain. Because if you're consistently in denial of the reality you face, you'll keep on going to the same thing that hurts you. But no matter how deep and bad it hurts you, the minute you get to a zone of acceptance, the pain may be, but it is a pain out of that. It is a pain of exit than a perpetual pain of staying in something that you know that it hurts you, but you are just in denial that you have to let go.
You know what's hurting me now is that Ephraim has been standing by. I've only got 20 seconds for Ephraim. Ephraim, go ahead. Thanks for your patience. You there, Ephraim?
Proverbs, we accept Mamelodi Sundowns is the best team in South Africa. Good evening, how are you?
Go ahead, Ephraim. How are you? Shout up now, 30 seconds of your time.
Hello?
Hey, okay, I think something's happened with that line. But he just wanted to celebrate the legend and saying everything that you've done so far. We truly, truly appreciate it. You deserve a holiday. I hope you're going to be going away just to unwind. And I know that it was your 58th birthday, two away from 60.
Jive
is Turkish, brother. Jive, show us how you were dancing in Turkey. They're waiting on YouTube. How are you dancing in Turkey, man?
Is it?
Yeah.
Let me see.
You got 10 seconds. The show's done. Hey, you want to try? What is that? Is it Turkish what? Ungamosh. Okay. No. Okay, that's a birthday boy, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much.
I was about to do samba, but anyway, that's for another day.
Ah, you're threatening, Baba, like politicians are always threatening. So now you're threatening. Let's leave this right where it is. Enlightening, and we say have a great break, man. Thanks for breaking into the studio and enjoying time with us. As I said, we'll have you back when you're back from your holiday. Steve Kompella, ladies and gentlemen, catch hashtag MSW.
Live. 947 Vuma FM, Rise FM, and Soweto Live at the same time. Hashtag MSW.